The Heat play again tomorrow night when they host the Indiana Pacers. Tip-off is at 8 p.m., and you can catch that game on 790 The Ticket. The Florida Panthers host the Edmonton Oilers tonight. You can catch that game right here on 560 WQAM. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. And the Miami Hurricanes have named their starting quarterback, and it's redshirt freshman Nikosi Perry, who Mark Richt will roll out with on Saturday. The Canes play against Georgia Tech. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. You can also catch that game right here on 560 WQAM. And Miami Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill has once again been ruled out for this Sunday's matchup with the Green Bay Packers. The Dolphins take on the Packers in Lambeau at 425. You can catch that game also right here on WQAM. Now on to weather, sponsored by Hialeah Park. It is currently 85 degrees in Miami. Some partly cloudy skies expected later in the evening. And for tomorrow, it will be a high of 85 and a low of 73. Don't miss Kool & the Gang live in concert at Hialeah Park Amphitheater Saturday, November 10th. Get your seats now at tickets.ticketforth.com. Kool & the Gang live at Hialeah Park on November 10th. My name is Tito Banach, and you're listening to the Hockman & Crowder Show right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
I'm getting, just so you know, I don't want to start the show again with technical issues, but it cuts out like every 3 seconds in our headphones. I believe we're on the air tree. I think we have no problem there, but I'm just letting people know that we're experiencing some audio issues.
We'll be fine. We're professionals.
We're professionals. We'll get through it. We're at the BB&T Center, me and Crowder, the Florida Panthers, back in town tonight after a long road trip to Helsinki, Finland. You can actually relate. Weren't you guys the first team that went to London?
Yep, against the Giants.
Yeah, Dolphins, yeah. That was the first... Right? The first foray into London?
It was the first game that counted in the regular season.
They did a preseason game in
They've
London?
They've done quite a few preseason games in London.
Because I didn't realize that.
When we went over there, there was a picture of Dan Marino playing and Ricky Williams playing over there. But like Tree said, I believe it was the first game that counted in London.
You know, football a little more difficult, obviously, because you have to play essentially every Sunday. I mean, you could have a bye week afterwards or whatnot. But the Panthers spent a week and a half essentially in Helsinki. And then they're going to try to get back into the swing of things. Well, we were talking with Tree, our engineer, before the program started. Like, the Panthers have the fewest games played in the NHL, and it's got to feel – we talked with Jonathan Huberdeau yesterday.
Yes.
He admitted it's a little bit out of sorts because they've got the lowest point total in the NHL, but they've got the fewest games played, and now you were telling me their November schedule is
– it's crazy.
Yeah.
I actually looked it up when I went to look at some articles. You know, we're here today. We're at the BB&T, so I was looking it up, and Anaheim Ducks have the most games played at 17, and the Panthers only played 11. But with a football mindset, you know how guys are excited about a bye week because you get to rest. So it seems like the Panthers should be the most rested team. But I don't know if that relates like football to hockey, where do you have to get in a groove in hockey?
But who wants to be rested in the first 10 games of the season? You'd rather be rested, you know, towards the end of the season. I don't care what sport you're playing. You'd rather be rested at the end of the season.
And that's – so we'll ask – we had Moeller coming today.
Moeller stopping by, Goldie.
I kind of wanted to ask him, like, does it hurt a team to have less games? Because it – I can see where, like, you get your role, you get your identity, you know, the lines get to knowing how to play together, and you kind of get your continuity. But you're also – you should be the – like, to your point, it's early in the season, but you should be the freshest team at 11 games, and everybody else has between 14 and 17.
Right, although I would say most teams are fresh anyway, just because at the beginning of the season, you had the entire offseason to get ready for the season. So I think it's a disadvantage.
Did they sign up for it? That's something else I wanted to ask.
I don't know.
Like, they had to agree to go to Helsinki for those games.
I honestly don't know.
Because that would be the assumption that you're going to be a monster. Like, when you
well, they
when
went
you
there
agree.
Because they went there because Sasha Barkov is from Helsinki. It was, you know, again, like we asked Huberdeau yesterday, Michael Jordan playing, you know, in North Carolina while being in the NBA. Like, there's a reason that they picked the Panthers.
Yes.
But I don't know if they had to agree to it or not. I will ask Moeller and Goldie.
Because don't you have to be a very confident team to change your schedule that much? Like, you have to think you're going to do something. You have to think your players, I guess, you have to think your players are professional and good enough to be able to deal with the change of schedule.
Well, I'm sure, too, they sell it, though, as this is something reserved for our marquee teams, that Global Series. And obviously, Doug Cifu and Vinny Viola, the owners of the Panthers, they want the Panthers to be thought of as a marquee NHL team. They do have stars on the team. And so, you know, that's a step towards that. Now, we'll see tonight here at the BB&T Center how many fans are out for Edmonton and Florida on a Thursday night when Florida, again, lowest point total in the NHL. I hope there's a lot of fans coming. I'm staying for the game.
The marketing side of it, I understand, but they're 3-5-3 right now.
Yeah, you'd rather be 5-3.
The question is, could their record have been better if they had a more normal schedule?
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be what I want to find out.
It was Hassan Whiteside night at the American Airlines Arena last night. We'll talk with Ira Winderman this afternoon about that. I'm telling you, if that dude, you get those games and you go, man, that's an all-star right there.
Bro, he is 7 feet. He came down a Euro steps to a little base, little jumper from, what, about 6 feet? Would you say when he Euro stepped around the guy and shot it up and it got goaltending and he did it? Why can't he do that more?
And he believes he can. We were talking yesterday about that Zion Williamson from Duke. Like, that's another big dude. Not as big as Hassan, but a big dude that's just a good ball handler. Joel Embiid. I mean, good ball handler, can do a little floater there. And Hassan believes he can do that. And if he plays like he did last night, he'll have many opportunities to do that.
I got to ask Ira, because that was a lot of questions about Hassan. And Ira always says it's about a matchup, where Hassan balls when it's an advantageous matchup, where he can physically dominate the guys on the other side. I want to ask him, did that matchup last night again, was that just a good Hassan matchup? Or
is he starting to, or are they starting to utilize him in a better way? Who knows?
Because they involved him in a lot of the offense. He was doing some of the stuff that Kelly Olynyk does, going out, doing the pick with the little pick, you know, handoff pick. And so I was surprised by how much they utilized him. But why don't you always say, well, you play Hassan for 4 or 5 minutes to see if he's feeling it that night, and then you figure it out. You can't just make that happen. You can't scheme up what happened last night.
I think Hassan would tell you, yes, you can. Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra believe, no, you can't. We'll ask Ira. He's going to join us today.
I believe Spo.
Mark Richt has announced that Nikosi Perry will be the starter for the Miami Hurricanes Saturday night at Georgia Tech. Now, this is an interesting scenario for me because he has already gone on record and said, essentially, when I pick the starting quarterback, that quarterback's going to play the entire game.
Yes.
Now, Nikosi Perry hasn't looked great his last few performances. And I wonder what coming out a couple days ago and saying the quarterback's going to play the entire game, what that does to Nikosi Perry's psyche heading into the game. I wonder if that puts extra pressure on him or makes him feel more comfortable. Like, hey, I don't need to show out every series. Like, this is back, like, when I was in high school, I was the quarterback. If I had a bad series, I was going to go to the sideline, come back for the next series, and be able to prove myself. So I no longer have that worry over my head that he's going to go to Malik, right? So I can go out there, I can play the game that I know how to play, and it takes all the pressure off him. I assume that's what Mark Richt is hoping happens.
And to be honest, you hit it on the head. Where I'm evaluated after the horn blows in the fourth quarter, I'm not evaluated after two drives in the first quarter. Where, hey, I'm 3-for-10 for 40 yards, but it's a 3-0 game. Let me come back. Let me ball out for the next three quarters. When you're looking over your back every single time you go to the sideline, because that's where Mark Richt set it up, and that's how he's had it set it up, even taking Malik Rozier out with down by 8 at the end of the game and putting Nikosi in there, where now every time you come to the sideline, think about it for the last couple games, whatever quarterback was starting, Hawk, they came to the sideline looking for a coach to tell them they're not playing anymore.
Right. It's probably not a great way to play, and I'll just, you know, I'll equate it to radio.
Yeah.
It would be like sitting here, and every segment that we finish, we walk off to Len's office, and he says, yeah, you know what, I'm going to have a big O go in for the 234 segment.
Exactly what it is.
And then you come back, and it's like, yeah, that segment, like, it was okay, but it was a little bit stilted, so we're going to go to Kevin Rogers now and whatever. And that would probably prevent you from getting into a good flow because you're always worried about, am I going to be out here next segment?
Yeah, and making the smart plays that we always see Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. You see all those top quarterbacks doing. Second and 11, and you have a route combination called and they jumped into perfect defense and you see the split safeties, you know the seam six isn't going to work, so you throw it out of bounds. I'm not going to force this. If you have a chance of getting benched at any moment through the game,
right,
I have to get 7. I got to get 8 on this 2nd and 11. I can't go to 3rd and 11 because now that's 3rd and long, and if I can't get that now, I'm benched again. When you come to the sideline as a quarterback, the guy walking up to you, if it's the OC, with it would be Mark Richt with the Canes because he is the OC. Whoever's walking up to you, you expect them to walk up, have out that little iPad, and start talking about, okay, on 1st down, did you see the linebacker
right,
like roll
down? How are we going to correct this for the next series?
But think about it, every time you walk off, it could be that conversation, the iPad conversation, or it could be a guy coming to tell you you're benched for the rest of the game. But think about this, Hawk, maybe not for the rest of the game.
Right.
Because if this other guy doesn't play well, we'll put you back in. That is a situation where even at any position it's tough, but at quarterback it is. It's they always say, what's the phrase? Lather up. You got to get lathered up. You got to get comfortable. Get in the game. Quarterback and running back, I think, are the two positions that can't have 8 plays, sit out 10 plays, have 4 plays, sit out. You just can't do it. They really do need to be lathered up.
I think for Miami Hurricane fans as well, you could sit down Saturday night, watch the game or listen to the game, however you're going to do it, and you have knowledge that Nikosi Perry has been named starter, that Mark Richt said he was going to go with whoever he believes gives Miami the best chance to win. So you're going to sit down. Nikosi Perry is going to be the starter. You know that he's going to be the quarterback for the entirety of the game if Mark Richt holds true to his word. And then you can kind of gauge, all right, here's Nikosi Perry in a game situation. There's adversity on Saturday night, no question. You are 3 losses in a row. You are facing adversity, whoever the quarterback is, and you'll get to see how he responds. And it won't be, you know, stilted or herky-jerky the way that it's been, you know, the last couple of games with one quarterback going in after another. So I think it's the right decision. You know, I would have been fine with Malik. I know a lot of people, they're done. They don't want to see Malik anymore because, like you say, he's done. You're not going to see him anymore after a couple games anyway.
I was just going to say, Hawk, if you want to see how somebody responds, see how your 7-year-old son responds and not your 21-year-old son. If you, when your son turns 25, Hawk, are you going to say, oh, hey, this is a good learning experience?
I get it,
no, bro, you need to go pay your damn taxes and pay your mortgage.
But if I needed help paying my taxes and I could rely on someone who I know might be a little bit more reliable rather than the person that needs to learn how to do it, I might be more apt to choose the person. So I could make a case for either. I really could. I could make a case for Malik. I understand the notion of, hey, Malik, like, there's no point in using him. He's done, and this is a lost season. Yeah. You know, if you're fighting for a top 4 spot and you believe he gives you the best chance to win, then it's a no-brainer. But if you're, you know, muddling along at 5-4 and having lost to Boston College, Virginia, and Duke, like, yeah, go ahead and go with the younger guy. I get it.
And I want to give you a Nostradamus moment. That's how you say it, right? Nostradamus. I'm going to give you one now because, I'm, you know, I'm a Gator, but I'm going to help y'all Canes fans out. Y'all aren't going to ask for Malik anymore. Y'all about to start talking about Kelly Bryant.
Possible.
That's what, if Nikosi doesn't play well Saturday, it's
possible.
Not even put Malik in it. Man, they need to get Kelly Bryant in here.
It's possible.
That story, and that's, it started to grow some legs. Yesterday it came out on 24, was it 2 days ago? 24-7
Sports? 2 days ago, yeah.
And now I'm starting to hear a lot about it, but I'm no Kane. That might be the best answer, to
yep,
be honest.
Yep, that is possible.
But
we'll see Saturday.
Nikosi and Jaren are still puppies. Kelly got 2 years max. That's a good quarterback room. A ACC championship winning quarterback with 2 young guys behind them fighting for that backup role. That's the situation you want to be. I'm telling you now.
You're
situation.
You're not going to get many arguments on anybody in the ACC saying we're going to replicate what Clemson has done. there's that. It's not a bad format to follow.
Yes.
Miami Hurricanes are 3-point underdogs Saturday at Georgia Tech, so that line dropped by a half point. We are live at the BB&T Center, Panthers and Oilers tonight. You'll hear the game right here on this very radio station. Ira Winderman, he covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. He's going to join us next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
To when we need, we don't have.
are at the BB&T Center. Panthers hockey tonight. Puck drop 7 o'clock. You'll hear the game here. Our friend Ira Winderman is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. Hello, Ira Winderman.
Hello, gentlemen. Based on the first segment of the show, I thought you'd be subbed out for now. I thought it was a subpar early segment. I thought maybe Kevin Rogers coming out of the bullpen like Malik Rozier might have been the way to go, but... But congratulations that he left you in for a new set of downs.
Yeah, like
uh-oh,
I was.
Oh, here comes Renshaw.
Uh-oh.
They sent Renshaw. What up, bro?
As long as the cat is not there, yeah.
We were saying, if you didn't hear it, we were saying that, you know, Nikosi Perry, Malik Rozier were kind of in this situation where after every series they run to the sideline and Mark Richt essentially has to say, you were good enough to go back in there or you weren't good enough, we're taking you out. And we know Nikosi Perry is starting Saturday night now, and so maybe he starts with the confidence because Richt said that he was going to, whoever he started, was going to play the entire game. But I was making the analogy that, you know, it would be like radio after every segment. But a number of people did text in, Ira, that the bar is so low for our segments that there's really no scenario where we could get pulled. Because could it possibly get worse?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. But again, if you're going to go to Renshaw, if you're going to go to Cilio, there are options there.
Are there?
You know, funny thing. You know who has the same situation Nikosi Perry and Malik Rozier has? Hassan Whiteside.
That's right. If he doesn't ball in the first 5-10 minutes, then they assume his head's not in it. Now, he was an all-star last night, Ira.
I mean, no, he was terrific. I heard you guys in the first segment of the show today, and I do think matchups have a lot to do with it. The fact that San Antonio didn't have all their bigs. Pau Gasol wasn't there. He has frustrated Hassan over the years, taking him out on the perimeter. LaMarcus Aldridge last night wasn't hitting shots, so Hassan was able to hang low. It really was a product of that. If LaMarcus Aldridge hit his trademark 18-foot shot, Hassan Whiteside could not have been in the position he was in. He would have had to respect that jumper. Instead, Aldridge was something like 2 of 16 for the field, so it changed it. But yeah, it is that way. This is the difference, though. The difference with Rozier and what's happening with the Hurricanes in that situation is the players just might not be good enough, period. The difference is, as Channing mentioned in the first segment of today's show, it's if Hassan's head is into the game, and I think that is part of it. And it might not be fair. Some people might not say, well, your head can't be into the game unless you get into a rhythm. But Hassan really is the kind of player. Matter of fact, I think you guys would agree with this. We've spoken about this before on the show. You can tell when Hassan's going to have a good game within the first 5 minutes. So I think there's something to be said for that for this. When you are an energy player as opposed to a skill player, you could see it early. When you are a skill player, you're going to have that skill the entire game. So if you have a couple of bad throws or a couple of bad snaps or something like that, you still know this guy is capable of throwing the deep fade. Eventually, he's going to hit that pass. With Hassan, I'd say 75% of his game is energy. So if it's not there in the first 5 minutes, yeah, I think you can get a read on that.
And to that same thought process, I would like the structure of the game plan, like with a quarterback that's struggling. You get him a couple quick throws to the flats. You get him some easy play action stuff. Like, can there be a structured game plan to make Hassan Whiteside the hot hand?
Oh, there is. There is. If you watch Heat games, I don't recall many Heat games when the Heat did not go to Hassan on the first possession of the game. He almost always sets up on the block. They get the ball to him. They see what he can do. He usually gets a couple of early possessions where they literally, it's like taking out the thermometer and like open wide, put the thermometer in there and see where he's going to be and get a reading on the game. They do that. They try to get him the ball early. Now, if the other team is in denial and says, you know what? You don't have Deion Waiters, you don't have good shooters out there tonight, you're not starting Wayne Ellington, then they're going to, you know, pack the paint and let the Heat guys make or miss. That's why I think last night was significant to another degree. You can see how Wayne Ellington opens the floor. You can see that every single player on the court had an eye on Wayne Ellington. Do not let this guy shake free, because when he did, boom, 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 he hit his first three 3-point shots. So I think that helped us on also.
What do we know about the Heat through 10 games, Ira? They're exactly 500. Is that pretty much the expectation?
Yeah, that's who they are, and they'll get on a little streak one way or the other that'll lift them to 44 and 38, might even drop them to 39 and 43. It'll be that one little run along the way. The problem is the early games they've squandered, the losses to Orlando and to Charlotte and to Sacramento. You know, those are the games you don't get back. So now you need good wins. Well, they got a good win last night. Now, granted, there was no Rudy Gay. There was no Pau Gasol. The Heat were shorthanded also with no Dragic. It all evens out. So to me, it's a matter of when does the Heat have this streak? And is this streak going to be an upward streak where they win 6 out of 7? Or is there going to be one little stumble along the way where they lose 6 of 7? Because otherwise, that's what they are. They're an average team with average talent that looks like they're headed toward an average season.
Ira, everybody knows, we've seen it. They're making an effort to make Jay Rich that guy. Is he stepping up to the plate 24 and 3, 35 minutes a game?
Yeah, I think he is for this reason. I thought even last night, I know it sounds weird on a night when a guy did not have a good overall game by any means and certainly struggled from the floor shooting 6 of 22, but late in the game when they needed baskets, when it was getting close, he stepped up and he made plays. And to me, that as much as anything is a sign of a go-to guy, that he was 3 of 4 in the fourth quarter. He had 2 steals in the fourth quarter. He made a difference in that final period. So, yeah, I think he is stepping into that role. I think they are moving away from the Jimmy Butler trade a little bit more. They realize they have value there. Can he take, you know, the next step, the step from good player to possible all-star to superstar? I don't know if he has superstar in him, but I also don't know how much more superstar Jimmy Butler has in him either.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel is with us. All right, you mentioned him. What is going on with the Jimmy Butler situation? If Minnesota called the Miami Heat right now and said, you know what, forget the draft pick, straight up, Josh Richardson for Jimmy Butler, they'd do it?
You know, it's something, I almost like to listen to my taped appearances because I bet I've waffled on every different show on this station. I would say at this moment they wouldn't do it.
They would not.
You know, and I know that there's also factors combined in there because, I don't know, Jimmy Butler has been so much drama around him. And the problem is, Channing knows, when you bring a strong personality into the locker room, that locker room has to be able to handle it. Whether it was Ndamukong Suh last few seasons with the Dolphins or a Jimmy Butler, I don't know if this locker room can handle it. I don't know if the leadership in this locker room, Goran Dragic tend to be soft-spoken, Dwayne Wade is on the way out, can handle that. That would be a lot to put on Eric Spoelstra's plate. It was one thing when he brought in LeBron with Bosh and with Wade. Those three were sort of their own. Eric, you know, quipped yesterday, those three coached him. The Jimmy Butler thing, I mean, just he decides basically every morning whether he's going to play or not. He decides who he's going to call out or not. He has been bickering back and forth with the media right now, where that's grown unpleasant also. So I don't know. Again, we spoke about this early in the process. There were stars, there were superstars, and there were franchise-changing players. I'm not so sure that Jimmy Butler's on that ultimate upper level that I would take that chance.
And I was watching that game last night because it seemed like they picked Karl Anthony Towns over Jimmy Butler. Karl Anthony Towns doesn't look that amazing to me watching him play top competition.
No, he was. I got home just to watch the second half of that Lakers game. Every time I see Karl Anthony Towns, it's almost a little bit of a son-like where you're going, why does he play harder? Why isn't he more physical? The difference is he has unbelievable basketball skills that he doesn't utilize a lot because it just seems like he doesn't want to overexert himself. So that's a weird mix. You got Andrew Wiggins, who is gifted greatness, never reached greatness, and you have Jimmy Butler, who wants to be this bulldog kind of two-way player. It's a mismatched roster there in Minnesota, and you can see why they are so up and down. Even in that game last night against the Lakers, they have to do something. And the longer that circus continues up there, the worse it gets. But then what I would do is look at the other teams who are struggling. I think the perfect trade is trading for Otto Porter. The Wizards have to do something. My God, they just lost to Dallas. They're coming to American Airlines Arena on Saturday. I think they're the trade partner. I thought the Heat might be a desperate team the way the season started. I don't think the Heat are that desperate right now.
Wizards are a joke. What about the Lakers, though? Because we watched that last night as well. Are the Lakers what you thought they'd be? I thought LeBron would be able to will them to more victory. I think they're 4-6 or something.
You got to have something around you. You know what? They are exactly what I thought they'd be because I thought they would be a middle-of-the-pack playoff team that would not win a playoff series. And that's basically where they're setting up right now as maybe number six in the West. But you look at the West, and you know Houston's going to come around. You know you have the Warriors. Denver's been very good, even with the recent slip-up. Utah will be very good. They've struggled at home. So I don't see the Lakers as a team with that roster that'll be able to win a playoff series. I think Tyson Chandler helped. And I think if they can get one more player who can help like that, then, yeah, I think they would have a chance to maybe get a top four seed. And I think there will be buyout players. But right now they just got a bunch of guys, and LeBron clearly is waiting for next year.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a weird situation going on there. And then you see, like, the Heat. I have the – and, again, the Heat roster, it's nothing spectacular. Like you said, it's a 500
team. Bunch of guys, right, yeah.
Yeah, but, man, do they know how to sell it. Do they know how to market. That hype video that – D. Wade put out on social media today from the Heat about these Vice jerseys and the Vice court, and it's got In the Air Tonight from Phil Collins on it. Like, man, they are on top of their game
when it comes to
marketing.
This thing is, I'm a purist, and I'm like, it's all about the game. And I do get concerned that it'll overwhelm the game to a degree, but those uniforms are sweet. And a bunch of people, I don't know how they had them, are wearing them already at yesterday's game. And you know what? If you can make yourself a little bit more interesting, that's fine also, as long as it doesn't overshadow the product. And I think even television and visual-wise, the next couple of games, to see that new court with the pastels and everything else out there, you know what? It is entertainment also. The Heat do entertainment very, very well.
I would just say wrong time, Channing, and I'll leave this one alone.
Okay.
Does Dwayne Wade ever hurt the team being out there at his age and his little retirement tour?
Well, he might start to for this reason. You saw Wayne Ellington last night, and I think we'd all agree that Wayne Ellington adds an element that no one else can deliver to the Miami Heat. Now, Wayne Ellington got to play yesterday because Dwayne Wade was out and Goran Dragic was out. Well, both of them most likely will return on Friday night against the Pacers. So all of a sudden, Eric Spoelstra has decisions to make. And we're not even talking about Dion Waiters, who's still out there in the Ether. We don't know what's happening there. I don't know how Eric Spoelstra is going to manage this now, because you could say it's as simple as this, that Wayne Ellington will take Tyler Johnson's minutes and will move forward. But it wasn't Tyler Johnson's minutes yesterday. It was Wade's and it was Dragic's. So, yeah, I think the Dwayne Wade thing sort of puts Eric Spoelstra in a box. He has religiously played him as his sixth man, first man off the bench. I think that'll continue. But you know what? I think there'll be more rest games and rest periods for Dwayne where Eric can play a little more with his roster.
That being said, though, talking about the marketing side of it, though, 90% of people that go to see a Heat game at the American Airlines Arena are waiting for D. Wade to check in.
Yeah, but you can give Dwayne 13 minutes instead of 26 minutes and still feature other players also. Now, it goes back to we always seem to go back to this UM quarterback thing. It's the same thing. Can Dwayne Wade in 13 minutes be the same player? Can Dwayne Wade play 5 minutes in the first half and then play 9 minutes of important basketball in the second half and be ready for that? That's a completely different role. I mean, that's like a closer in baseball who just comes in to throw 15 pitches. So that's what I'm curious about also. But they got to do something with this roster. Even last night, you know, we spent the whole time talking about Hassan and how well he played, but because of that, Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk barely played at all. They both played 12 minutes. That's the thing. The Heat have 13 equally talented guys. They're trying to manage that. Someone's always going to be left out. Someone's always going to be unhappy. And unless Hassan dominates like he did last night, and he still only played 32 minutes, that's the problem here. They've got to thin this out somehow.
Ira Winderman covers the Heat for the Sun Sentinel. You coming out to the BB&T tonight? Watch a little Panthers hockey?
You know what? I'll catch it on TV. It's a little bit of wife time. I got a whole week of traveling next week, so I'll do the husband thing tonight, but I'll be sitting in front of my TV cursing. And it's crazy. It's like the Panthers haven't played for a month ever since they went over to Finland. So
yeah, we talked with Jonathan Huberdeau yesterday, and we were saying, does it feel like you've been removed from the rest of the NHL season? And he said, yeah, it kind of does. So I'm sure they're happy to be
– and it was nice because they waited to allow the Rangers to get back to 500, so I'm appreciative. So, yes, I will be watching on TV, fellas.
See ya, Ira. Thank you for making time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
Ira Winderman there covers the Heat in the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. We are live at the BB&T Center in the beautiful city of Sunrise, Florida. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
said upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively. Round and round, you're
That's
turning
Diana Ross.
Me.
Now I asked Tito. Tito's filling in for Falero. Falero's out sick again with a low-grade fever and body aches.
That's ridiculous, man. You go to one day, change to one day.
Well, we worked with Falero the last 2 days. He's fine.
He's fine.
I was surprised when he texted this morning. He said, oh, my low-grade fever is back. Low-grade fever.
You know what? That's somebody with new to sick days. They don't know how to use them right. I was sick on Wednesday, right. But not Thursday.
Rack up a couple in a row. Hey, man, we all have them to spend at the end of the year. I get you. But crank up this Diana Ross for a second, Tito. Tito's filling in. Now, you familiar at all, Tito? Tito's a very young guy. You familiar at all with Diana Ross?
I know she did Ain't No Mountain High Enough with Marvin Gaye.
Yes, and she was in the Supremes. You heard of the Supremes?
Not too often, no.
Not too often.
Great answer. Have you heard of them? Not too often. I mean, and that's a fair answer. You probably wouldn't hear about the Supremes often. It would be once in a while. And you would.
On the bus every morning.
But this surprised me. So I saw on my email today, Diana Ross is coming to Hard Rock. And
Hard Rock.
Yeah, that event center. They do that Hard Rock event center.
Oh, I thought you were talking about she was coming to sell out the stadium. I was like,
No,
take it easy.
No.
I like to go upside down and inside out as well, but you ain't put the 80 in there.
You are correct. That Hard Rock Hotel Event Center, because they're building all that up again.
But I was just over there for the Jason Taylor.
Right.
And all the renovations, it's beautiful
that
now.
That place is going to be just insane. But she's coming January 6th, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm not a huge Diana Ross fan. I don't really own any Supreme. Like, I don't have any downloads. I'm not sitting there listening to the Supremes.
Yeah.
But I am familiar with some of her music, and I am familiar with the Supremes' music. And, you know, she's in her mid-70s now, so I'm assuming this is the last tour. And so I tweeted out this morning, like, hey, do you think this would be a good concert? And I am telling you, to a tweeter, it was boring. Yeah, it would be a good concert 25 years ago. Does she have enough songs to do a concert? And I wonder if people don't recognize how good Diana Ross's career is and how many hits she has as well. Now, I don't know if she would put on a good concert anymore. I don't know. I don't know if I would be
70 what?
75, I'm guessing.
I would assume not a lot of energy in the concert.
I would disagree with that.
75, man.
Marv Levy.
You see Marv Levy dancing in a water puddle or something cool?
She's 74 years old.
No fireworks. You can't have a fire. It's a scarer. Old people over 70 get scared easy, man.
So no pyrotechnics.
No pyrotechnics. Diana, it's okay, Diana.
It's so many hits. And now I'm looking on her Wikipedia. And the code word on this special offer on my email is Wiz. She was in the Wiz, which you called the Oz. Crowder once told me that he doesn't like Wizard of Oz. He likes the version with Diana Ross better. You know, the Oz.
And Michael Jackson. Oh, the Wiz.
Would you go see that? You wouldn't go see that.
No,
then, no?
Hawk. And what you just said was, I'm going to go because I don't know how much longer she'll be doing it.
No.
Don't go because you think she's going to die.
No,
go if you think you're going to enjoy the concert.
I'm just saying, I've never seen her in concert before. It was kind of my the reasoning when I went to see Tom Petty a year and a half ago, and then he died. So maybe I shouldn't go see her.
Get there.
It's me.
Oh, no.
Diana Ross just heard it. She's like, no on Hawkman. No, but I want to see. There's certain acts that you kind of want to see before they're done touring. And I don't know. I feel like Diana Ross would be one of those acts. No, you wouldn't go see that?
Do you want to watch Joe Montana play football now?
I don't think it's a fair comparison.
It is,
but
you didn't go see her when she was young and still energetic and good at music.
No, but I don't think she'd be bad at music is my point. Do I think it would be like going to see Diana Ross in 1979? No.
No.
But I don't think she'd get out there, and I don't think it would be embarrassment, although I did go see Barry Manilow about a year ago, and he's gotten to the point of embarrassing. I'm not going to lie to you.
He was something of what?
Animatronic.
He said Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, he's animatronic. It's possible Barry Manilow died 6 years ago. and the tour is going to last two more years. Like, but man, I don't know. She's got so many great songs. I'm so torn on this. I'm telling you,
get a greatest hit DVD.
Well, that's the thing.
That'll
like,
be okay for you.
But I like listening to the music. Like, I like hearing it. But I like to see. She's a legend.
Yes.
She's a legend.
Oh, yeah.
To
yeah.
see her perform live, I think, would be special.
But what if she still doesn't have the voice?
What is this? Crank it up, Tito. I want to hear this. What is this? Man, come on. You're telling me you would get chills?
No. I'll get chills if her voice sounded like this.
But it might.
But it's not.
No, oh, you don't know.
Oh, she's 75. You say 77? Oh, come on, man.
74.
It's gonna. It has to change.
I mean, this is.
That's why the comparison to an athlete, I think, is great. Because, oh, Michael Jordan was good. Like, you want to see Michael Jordan play basketball right now? No, he doesn't basketball well anymore.
No, but you can go on and perform for many, many years and still be, you know, maybe not as good as when you were in your heyday, but still be entertaining.
I'll sit on a chair? Hawk, 74. I think you're discounting what 74 is.
Well, no, I'll tell you, as I get older, 74 certainly doesn't seem as old as you're making it out to be. I'm sure Tito believes 74 is, you know, 1 foot in the grave. I used to think that at Tito's age. I don't anymore.
She was retired when Tito was born. Like,
I
74?
I get it. Tito, is that something that you would take your girlfriend to? Like, do you know the legend of Diana Ross enough to say, yeah, this is someone I'd like to see in concert?
I wouldn't mind, honestly, going, because I've enjoyed some of her music before. So, yeah, I wouldn't
mind it. I wonder, does she do Supreme songs? I don't know.
I would guess she would have to, right?
She doesn't have to. Yeah, you are underestimating her
too.
Library.
I'm no gigantic Diana Ross fan. I know she was famous, but the whole concert, and at 74, man.
You're stuck on that 74, huh?
It's too old, man. It's certain times where it's just, you just need this hanging up. You hit that 70 threshold, that old 65, 70, just things start breaking down. I got heartburn. I'm 34. I never have heartburn like this in my life. What's going on with my stomach? I'm 34. What's going on with her stomach? She's 74.
Well, I mean, sure.
She got rock gut.
In the locker room, in whatever it's called, the dressing room, they're not going to have pizza any longer. They're going to have Fiber One. I understand.
Diana, you forgot your Metamucil. So. Oh, thank you so much,
Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow, I think, allegedly, before he would go on stage in the 70s, he'd snort a line of cocaine. Now they have to spray him with WD-40 just to make sure that the arms will go up and down the way that they programmed it. All right, well, text it in.
He's old, man.
Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Text it in, 560-22. Would you go see Diana Ross? Because I got to buy tickets. Like, I don't have any connects at the Hard Rock. Like, I got to buy tickets, and I'm legitimately thinking about buying tickets to see this Diana Ross concert.
So. I'd rather ask her questions than see her perform. I'd pay to have a one-on-one with her.
I disagree, man. All right,
74.
Well, text it in. 560-22.
Name something physical a 74-year-old does well.
I think you are.
I was gonna say breathe, but they can't do that either.
No, so.
They got CPAPs. No, they got the little machine they pull along.
Both
name
of you.
Something physical. A 74-year-old just, ooh, that 74-year-old's doing it.
Both of you are ageists. You're ageists, I tell you. A guy named Lee Sterling is going to join us in the next segment. We're live at the BB&T Center. Normally, at 3 o'clock on Thursdays, Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler, joins us, and we look forward to it every week. And he texted me this morning, and he said, I hate to do this. I've got to bail. Something came up, and I'm not even going to be able to come on Friday to make it up. I got to skip this week. And I said, okay. And he's been pretty hot lately.
Yes.
And I've talked a couple times during the offseason with Lee Sterling, who is also a professional sports handicapper. He's a local guy, but he's on dozens and dozens of radio stations. And so I said, you know what? I'll bring you in till we talk about going to the bullpen. I'll bring you in this week because Pizzola's out. We'll bring in a bullpen pitcher, and we'll see what happens. So we'll get our little gambling fix.
I like it.
Lee Sterling will talk some gambling, hopefully win some money when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.